There have been a few moments over the years, haven't there, where we're faced with new technology and a decision about whether or not to employ it. Not just social media, but now new social media platforms popping up all over the place. Do you put your energy into them? Do you use things like ChatGPT and the other AI tools available? That's the one that's really happening right now. Well, my guest today says yes every single time. And she has the runs on the board for business and impact, which are going to give you the confidence to start saying yes to. Ashley Goodchild is an industry leader in property management and real estate based here in Perth, Western Australia. Her videos with advice for renters and investors amid this hectic housing crisis have attracted up to 2 million views on TikTok. And back at the start of my business journey in 2020, Ash was one of 8 industry leaders who took the beta round of my one-on-one Confidence on Camera program. Now, she owns and runs SoCo Realty in South Perth. She is the agency's highly successful rent role manager. She's the property manager as well as that. Since we've worked together, she has started another highly successful business, Property Profiling. Basically, she is the investor's property management guide to buying investment properties in Perth. And that has gone nationwide. Also nationwide, her community of property managers known as the PM Collective. And this is really exciting. Through Ashley's great work building her profile online for the good of her business and later on TV and radio and in print media, Ash has been able to create a high-impact philanthropic project with the lofty goal of solving the housing crisis. This is the stuff. And you know what? Every single thing Ashley does now attracts the attention of traditional media. She is truly a person of impact, an industry leader. On top of all that, she's got a bit of a Brady Bunch situation going on at home with something like 6 kids between herself and a partner, Lindsay. How does she do it? Well, let's find out. In today's media landscape, options abound. From traditional platforms like TV and radio to the digital realm, social media, online publications, and podcasts, just like this one. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to the rapid changes in the modern media space. Whether you're a personal brand or corporate entity, staying relevant is key. Join me, a seasoned TV and radio presenter, content creator, and modern media trainer as we navigate this dynamic terrain together. Let's do this. Ashley Goodchild, great to have you on Modern Media, the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
It's always good to chat to you. As I shared in the intro, you were part of the beta round of one-on-one clients who helped me create my business. So I'm forever indebted to you for helping me figure out what people like you, industry leaders, business owners, require from people like me, you know, people with the media experience. So that was so insightful and it's had a really big impact on my life. So I feel forever in your debt. Thank you, Ashley.
I'm complimented. Thank you.
Ashley, you are an industry leader, and I have this bit of a checklist really for people like yourself, industry leaders, about how you should be using the modern media, the things that you should have a presence on right now. And you're one of those people who's just got a box check next to every single one. You've got the podcast, you've got Instagram firing, you're amazing on LinkedIn, you even use TikTok, your website has video content on it, you are all over the place, and you even pop up on TV and radio, and you've had print and online publications share your story using content that you have created. You've set the media agenda. First question, how much time do you spend making content every week?
Not a lot. And I think it looks like that I'm really busy doing it, but I'm actually not doing anything that anyone else isn't. So all I'm doing is keeping content at top of mind. And anytime I am working out with friends, out with clients, I'm always recording those moments. I'm saving them on my phone. And at some stage, I'm using them. That is the only difference that I'm doing that I don't think other people are.
When you look back on your journey, and I'd love you to let us know how long you've been at this, what is it that really inspired you to start? What gave you that indication that being present in the media landscape as it is today was really a priority for you to grow your business and your community?
Yeah, I think there's two things. The first one, as business owners, we find that we're not accountable to anybody. We only have ourselves, you know, to look after. And if we don't do something, it doesn't matter because no one's really, you know, holding our hand. You know, we make our own decisions. So I was always very aware of that as a business owner, and also was very aware that that's actually a really big concern. So me having personal coaches, and I still to this day tell everyone that I speak to that if you are going to have like a coach in some way, and I'm not saying this because you're here, I would hands down tell you that the video coaching that you did for me is probably the most impactful long term. And it really is, for me, it was the most beneficial out of all the coaching that I've done, because I've been able to implement it in lots of different ways, not just for the media, but also internally with my team, my offshore training, all of that. It's been a lot easier to create content and videos. So I think the first thing is definitely having someone you're accountable to, and having you that was accountable to me, I felt like that was very helpful to have. So definitely a priority. The second thing for me is I always have been thinking of the future. So when I started doing video, started doing TikTok, LinkedIn, all of those things, I didn't do it because I enjoyed or loved doing it. I did it because I knew that in a couple of years' time, it's going to be needed. So I'd rather get a head start now and practice on it. So I have always just naturally thought of that. And so TikTok's a very good example. I really don't enjoy doing it. I'm making myself do it because I know in 2 years or 5 years, it's going to be really important. And I think that I travel through my career and life making decisions that what's hard now is actually going to make my future easier, as opposed to choosing the easier option now. And if I choose the easy option now of not doing all of this stuff, it's only going to make my future harder.
Wow, you're a bit of a futurist, Ashley. It's a really interesting way to think about the way you approach things. I love that. What would be that key piece of advice to anybody, whatever industry they're in, if they're hoping to establish themselves as an industry leader?
You have to look at the future and how you can make your life easier. You do not want to be a business owner constantly working your ass off for the next 5 years. What can you do now to make your future easier is really what it comes down to. Your future is going to be so much easier if you start adjusting to these modern media options, because they're actually also making your life a little bit easier. Like video is so much quicker than creating a Canva ad, creating a caption, scheduling it for posting. That takes up too much time. Video is quick. It's easy. It's the biggest impact. It's allowing you to gain trust with people that are currently strangers that haven't started using your business. It's the way to fast track it. You actually will be saving yourself time by just pushing through that uncomfortable feeling. So I would really love for people to understand the importance of setting yourself up for the future. And also, I always say, if you just continue doing what you're doing now, you might as well go backwards, because the modern media, the modern future is fast tracking so quickly, you have to move with it. So if you plan on being in business for the next 3 to 5 years, you are going to be kicking yourself if you don't just start doing this now. It's free, costs you nothing to have your phone and to start recording stuff. So there are absolutely no excuses except for your mindset, and you are the only one that can change that. And you're just going to have to work out a way to get over it.
Can you describe for me in your own words the balance of social media and what I call modern media, or that combination of, you know, appearances in TV and radio, PR, if you like? What are your priorities right now? What are you making content for and contributing to?
Priorities right now are TikTok. I am doing a lot on that, posting twice a day where I can, and I'm seeing a good result with that now. LinkedIn 100% is where my leads come from, so I will never sort of sacrifice that. And YouTube also is a place where it's very easy for me to store my content, and I get a lot of feedback. So the feedback that I get from the general public is always TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And The feedback is things like clients emailing me saying, thank you so much for your education on YouTube. And it all comes back to the video because all of those platforms require video, but they don't compliment the video, they compliment the platform.
Well, that's right. They don't realize, do they, that they're looking at a video, that you had to make a video. They are seeing the benefit for themselves. And that is, I'm getting this awesome investor advice from a very experienced property manager in Perth who makes great money for her investors by advising them on where to buy a house and rent it out, for instance. You know, so they're just seeing benefit, 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 benefit. And that's what I think is what's so great about what you do. One of the other sideline results that you've had from your TikTok content, I'm pretty sure in particular, has been getting picked up by traditional media, TV, radio, digital publications. This has probably had good outcomes and also some tricky outcomes. Can you talk us through some of the scenarios you've found yourself in as a result of that?
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing a connection with the traditional media using TikTok, not only for me, but also for some friends of mine in the industry where they're picking that up because that's where all the opinions are and the controversy is on TikTok. The other platforms are a bit more safer. So that's definitely where that's coming from. And I think it's good. I mean, mentally, you do have a very mixed range of comments on that. But if you look at those negative comments as a education piece to think to yourself, why do they actually have this perception? Why do they think that I haven't helped that tenant, you know, and use it to your advantage? Like, I genuinely look at those negative comments and think to myself, okay, it's my job to educate them that that is actually not correct or that's an unfair statement. And so then I would create content around that. So I think you really need to take on board the comments. And that's the reason why people don't do it. It's because they're so worried about the public perception. But use it to your advantage. How can you improve your industry by using that to your advantage?
It's such a savvy approach. It's exactly how I would media train somebody. We're talking crisis management, for instance, right? If I was dealing with a big organization that was representing a bunch of businesses around the country and they had to front a current affair, the advice I would give them is do not back away. You know, silence is not your friend in this scenario. As soon as there's controversy, you've got this awesome source of feedback from your desired audience and you've got an opportunity because you know exactly what they're thinking. And if you ignore that, especially in the current media environment, it's just not a good strategy anymore. Silence will mean that your narrative will be taken over. Your story will be told by people who don't have your organization's best interests at heart. And it might be the wrong story. It might not be factual. So wouldn't you want to be the one who's there setting the agenda, getting the record straight, and representing your industry in the right way? And this is probably going to be a beautiful segue to the next question I have for you. It's about property management. People are often quite surprised to hear that whilst you own a real estate agency and you're in business, you're the property manager. And you've done some really cool things to improve the perception of property managers in the community. Can you tell me about the great work you've done for property managers?
I do a lot of ambassador work with a charity, a not-for-profit, where we encourage impact agents and we encourage property managers to contribute to a refuge. And they also donate money, or they can maybe share a network or someone in their network that can actually help the domestic violence families as well. So it's really a platform giving other property managers and business owners an opportunity to help if they've not known how to help in their industry. So there's a lot going on in PM Collective, but I guess ultimately that's what we're doing, is just providing safe spaces for them to connect together and opportunities for them to be impact agents in the community as well. And as a result, we hold two charity events each year with all the proceeds going to Arana House and the housing project, which is getting domestic violence survivors into the private rental market, which is really tough at the moment.
Gosh, I love that impact side to what you're doing. You know, there's so many of us who possess the values that we'd like to have a great impact on our industry. And we all are well aware of the pitfalls of our industry. You know, I come from the broadcast media. I know there's a lot of dodgy things that go on, but it doesn't mean necessarily that we all have the capacity to support a charity or to be a change agent or to make an impact. And through the community that you've grown, you've allowed more people to have an impact on one of those very common issues that you are dealing with in the industry. We've got the big news-making story right now of the housing shortage, and that only makes those people fleeing domestically violent situations or family violence even more precarious. It's so hard for them to find that home right now. And it's just so wonderful to hear that as an industry, property managers aren't covering their ears and saying, la, 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 let's just move on. It's nothing to do with me. You're actually able to show the community, to show Australia, really, that you're making an impact. Has the media responded to this side of what you're doing with PM Collective?
They have. I've had lots of media around PM Collective in the newspaper specifically, and we've actually got an ABC interview that'll be showcased in a couple of weeks as well, and that's exciting. And actually, as a result of every single media piece that PM Collective does with Arana, mm-hmm. we have had a philanthropist come forward every time to provide a house that's suitable. So when they provide a house that's suitable, they're able to offer that to a family at a very affordable rate, which is generally $100 or, you know, $150 a week less than the market rate. So something affordable for these families. And that's really exciting because, again, there's actually so many people in the community that want to be able to help, but they just don't know how. So I'm really excited because we've got the ABC coming up, which will showcase it again. And I no doubt we'll get more families or more investors that have got homes that can help come forward. And that's exactly the benefit of getting comfortable on camera and saying yes to these opportunities, because it's actually not about you. It's actually about everybody else.
Yes, it's about that bigger impact you can have. And if you'd been that person who said, oh, no, I could never speak on behalf of the industry. No, I could never take that radio interview or have my photo put next to an article in the paper. None of this would have happened. You know, that's what's quite spectacular. And there was we worked together, right? I empowered you with some content ideas and the belief that you could do it. But there's no magic switch, like you say, for changing that mindset. I myself, you know, 22 years of broadcasting, still wake up some days and go, I can't do this, or I'm not good enough. It's a continual practice. We have to work on that day in, day out. So can you cast your mind back then to maybe the first time you were on live radio or the first time you did a television interview? Tell me about how some of that felt and what you did on the spot. If you can kind of remember that moment. Were there any strategies you used on the spot to help you?
I won't lie. I still get sore gut every time I need to do radio or an interview. Mm-hmm. I'm very comfortable when I put my own phone in front of my own face and record. I can do that fine. But the minute someone else puts a camera in front of me or gives me a script, I find it very, very difficult. I still feel ill, if I'm honest, every time I do it. But the adrenaline afterwards is really exciting as well. I like the challenge of being able to do it. And I have had they always throw one silly question into it.
Yeah.
I find on TV, radio is a bit more relaxed, but on TV they throw a silly question in. And while I have felt uncomfortable in that moment, when I've actually watched it back, I've actually been really happy and pleased with how it ended up looking. I think the way we feel is so different to what we physically look like. And I think that if you can master that art of knowing that nobody needs to know how I'm feeling right in this moment, no one else needs to know that I've got butterflies or that I feel a bit unsettled. As long as I can bluff my way through that, you're going to be fine. The second big tip for me is definitely researching. So when I go onto radio or TV, generally the media has already put up a bit of a post about the topic you're about to talk on, just to gauge some interest, maybe some questions. So I always read through those posts, and I like to familiarize myself with all the negatives. What are people talking about? What have they got the problem with? So that then I can also be comfortable with those questions that might come up and be comfortable with where the controversy could lie and make sure that I'm sometimes strategic with what I say to allow the media to get what they want out of it, but also to make sure that I'm addressing those concerns. For the TV, I have requested a pre-recorded the first couple of times. Now that I've done the pre-recorded a couple of times, I'd be comfortable going into a studio and doing it live. But that was also helpful as well. And the butterflies, I don't think ever go away.
Yeah, you do. You do need to learn that that is how my body responds in this unusual. It is an unusual scenario. And yeah, even the few seconds before I go live on the Weekend Today stuff that I do, it still kicks in. And to me, that is a wonderful thing. That is a sign that you still care about what you do. There's something in your day-to-day life that still makes you that excited. Do you remember when your job used to do that for you, right? So if you're looking for a way to feel a little bit more keenly attuned to life, you know you're living when you're going live on TV, you'll feel it. It is an unusual thing to do. No one really is a natural at it. But with that bit of practice, and I think that strategy of asking for a pre-record the first couple of times, if you've got a good relationship with the media, is a really good way to go, because you won't get a multiple attempts at it or anything. It just takes that little bit of pressure off to know that you're getting almost like a mock version of it. You're just having a practice, feeling how it feels. And if you do media training, that's exactly what we do. We're just trying to recreate the scenario of that studio environment and putting you under pressure and asking you to speak without saying, oh, I have to redo that. You know, when you know that that's not an option, your body finds a way to support you through that, and you find these natural sentences. It's also because you've got to trust this. You've got your industry knowledge. How long have you been doing what you do, Ashley?
23 years.
Yeah, exactly. 23 years of innate knowledge about something that you've been dealing with day in, day out, that you've been supporting other people with, that people have been paying you to share with them, right? So we're just trusting that it will come out. And that one thing that you do afterwards, watch it back, right? So many people don't watch it back. They will just walk away thinking, I stuffed that up completely. I never want to think about it again. Or they will walk away, never watch it again, and miss out on the learnings that can come from it. You know, sometimes you do make a mistake. That's okay too. Have you learned from any mistakes publicly?
I had a stutter in one of my first news videos that I did, and I was really worried about the stutter, but because I just sort of skipped over it, she wasn't that bad. I definitely learned from that a little bit. I definitely, every time I speak to you as well, like I always learn, I try to reduce the ums, but those little stutters, those little things were very, very minor. I don't need to make them into a big problem. And at the end of the day, if they were a problem for the media, they would have edited it out, and they didn't. So I figured that it couldn't have been that bad. I just also want to add on as well, like, for people to also understand that everyone's going to have a different opinion whenever you do post things and are on TV or radio. And that's okay. Like, it's okay for people to have their own opinion. It's not your job to convert everyone to agree with what you're saying. If you just learn to deal with that, I know that when there's comments sometimes on a lot of things like TikTok or maybe on the media posts, it's really, because I've had a couple of TikTok posts that have gone onto the like Perth Now and all of that. And there definitely was a lot of comments both ways with regard to that article. And I made a rule with my partner that I wasn't going to read any of those comments on that. And I didn't for a couple of days. And someone had messaged me and said, have you read the comments? And I was like, no, I'm not interested in the comments. It is what it is. And then I had a little sneak peek at them. And I remember it was about 3 days after, and I started whinging to my partner about it. Can you believe that they said
yes?
Can you believe that? And he said to me, Ash, you promise you were never going to read those comments on that ad? And I was like, you're right. And so I stopped it. So till this day, I actually don't know all those fabulous opinions that people had, because it doesn't matter, because they're allowed to have that opinion.
What have I heard a friend of mine say before? Not my monkeys, not my circus. You know, what other people think about you is not your responsibility. Let them go for it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's totally okay to have that kind of strategy in the media, right? So when I did breakfast radio shows, we'd often publish things that are quite controversial that we'd said during the show, or I would write an article for news.com about something horrible that I'd admitted I'd done in my parenting. And yeah, you would cop it, you know, and you need to decide your own capacity for reading those comments. And if you know that it's something that is going to affect you, it's totally okay to ignore that. You know, that's not what I'm talking about when it comes to the conversation or avoiding the echo chamber. Like, sometimes we do need to protect ourselves from that. But there is gold to be found in watching back your on-camera performance, or hearing what genuine people from your customer base or from the community that you're trying to affect. You know, if you want to hear what people who are facing the challenge of finding a new home in this current rental market are thinking, then no better way than to tap into those people on the internet and hear what they're saying. But there are trolls. There are filthy, ugly people out there who will just say horrible shit to get a reaction. And the last thing you want to do is feed that. So love that approach. Love that approach.
Can I just mention one thing that I think is funny? And I've just noticed the last couple of weeks, I thought to myself, I'm going to have to pick up my game a little bit. I think with the video coaching that I've had, I've become a little bit too comfortable now with video. That now I was going through a stage where I was just posting videos without my hair being done, without my makeup, which is totally fine if you're listening. It's totally fine to have no hair and makeup done, but it was really bad. Like, I just rolled out of bed. I had half of my hair down, half of it in a ponytail. And I was looking back at one of my videos and I thought to myself, oh, Ash, you're taking comfort and confidence to the next level. So now I'm just trying in the morning to make sure my hair's decent, that I'm, you know, I'm reasonable, looking reasonable, not like I've just, you know, walked out of bed. And it was just something funny that I thought to myself, I've got myself to that point of my video confidence.
So you're saying I did too good a job on you. You're just too relaxed on camera now. Yeah. And honestly, the amount of people I meet who'll say, I have to do my hair and makeup no matter what before I get on camera. And I totally get that. And it does improve the way you feel. And depending on your industry, you might feel like that's the only way you should show up. I'm really passionate personally about starting to show all sides of how I look and trying to tell the world and tell the modern media that women, whether they're wearing makeup or whether they have pimples on their face or whether they've got grey hair or not, they still can add value to the conversation. So I just think it comes down to your own personal preferences at the end of the day.
Of all the things that people maybe can comment, you know, negative posts, I was really surprised. Like, I've given you a really good opportunity to troll me with the way that I look. And do you know what? People don't care.
No.
I have not had one comment on my hair or my appearance when I have just quickly done a video because I thought of something that I really wanted to post. Never had one person troll me on looking like I'm rolled out of bed.
Yeah. And you know, the awesome thing about that, like seizing the moment, like you're like, oh, this is happening right now. And I just recording those thoughts into the camera, you'll be your most authentic, your most natural. You make the strongest connection with your ideal audience member when you do that. So it is worth just grabbing that, but it will mean sometimes that the side effect is you might not have all the ducks in a row. Ashley, you've got a great event coming up here in Perth that it would be remiss of me to not mention because I'll be presenting a workshop there. Tell me about Power Moves.
So Power Moves has been created for the industry. So it's a great opportunity for anyone in the property industry. But to be honest, actually really anyone that wants to get better at camera, better at LinkedIn. So many people have a LinkedIn profile, but they don't use it.
Yes.
So I want people to tap into that. So it's a really great opportunity to be able to get a little bit more confidence on both platforms. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that event. And again, it's just about getting that confidence up with people to start using it. So hopefully all the attendees have a little bit more motivation afterwards to get stuck into it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good thing you're doing, bringing in the experts to share this knowledge around LinkedIn. And on video content, we've got you as this shiny example of what to do and how to leverage it. If you haven't heard yet, LinkedIn is not just about finding a job. It's about growing your business, growing your brand, attracting leads, and it's really, really powerful. And yeah, when you leverage that alongside video, there's so many cool things we can do. So yeah, it's going to be a great day. And yeah, I don't do an awful lot of workshops these days that are open to the public. So if you'd like to come and learn from me, it'll be a great thing for you to put on your agenda too. It's called Power Moves, 19th of March. Yeah, this year. And I will share details of that in the show notes. Ashley Goodchild, like I said earlier, you know, you're just such a wonderful part of my business life. And I do treat you as a friend, obviously, these days. I consider you a friend. It's been so cool to watch the transformation from someone who was already pretty savvy when it comes to video, but to watch the transformation in your business, in the community, and the impact that you're able to have is really incredible to see. I find it rewarding, but I don't take all the credit. It comes down to your capacity to do, like you've said a few times on this podcast, just do the thing. Don't let your head get in the way. It's really powerful. And Ashley, thank you for so many great words. And I'm really looking forward to Power Moves and the next time we get to hang out.
Amazing. Thanks, Carmen.
How good is Ashley? If you would like to support Ashley in her philanthropic investment program, I'll share the links you need in the show notes. If you'd like to come to Power Moves, the links you need for that will be there too. Oh, and that checklist I mentioned, the Modern Media Performers Checklist, you can grab that via the show notes as well. What did you think? Do you, like me, feel like Ashley's energy and on-camera and on-air persona is so infectious? She's so down to earth. And I love her thoughts around accountability. I love that she's a futurist, encouraging us to get a head start on those online platforms, even when we don't enjoy them. Just look at the success Ashley has had with TikTok. And that mindset, that just do it attitude, because in the long run, it is going to make your life easier. And by the way, imagine if you were Ashley's sister, working in the same industry, watching the success that Ashley's having in the modern media and knowing, because you can see the evidence that it works, that you need to do the same thing yourself. It's a story of comparison. It's a story of holding back and letting a few things get in the way that Diana McKenzie will shed some light on in a few episodes' time. Go and check that one out. First, though, here's a sneak peek of what to expect next time on Modern Media.
Who's done a press release before? They don't work. 97% of press releases will go into the rubbish bin.
There he is, Nick Hayes, the man who used to fill my talkback radio shows up with his expert talent every single week. We'll talk engaging traditional media with Nick Hayes next time on Modern Media. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to navigating the ever-changing world of media. Dive deeper into today's topics, you can check out the show notes. Or for more details about modern media training, head to carmenbraidwood.com.au. Until next time, keep on shining in the modern media landscape.